It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston. Louisiana Tech coming off another conference win again on the road in Miami. They traveled round trip 5,000 miles for two of the last two games, and of course a non-conference game at UMass, and then of course this past week at Miami against FIU. Came out on the good end against FIU, but not many people saw that game.
Very, very, very few.
There was about 2,000. We'll give them 2,000 people in the stands, and then the utter failure that was what they called a stream,
and then the very few people that were able to see it on DirecTV.
Yeah, I was in that number. More people could see it longer on DirecTV than the people who could see it on ESPN3, but it eventually failed on DirecTV as well. And that I don't know that there's anything the conference can do to them.
I didn't even realize it. They didn't finish the game on DirecTV.
No,
I just thought it was the ESPN3. Okay, wow, that's even worse.
I'm pretty sure there's some rumors out there that maybe FIU paid for that broadcast. They paid somebody to come in and do it. If that's true, it seems like they just walked off the job. We've had enough of this. I mean, to me, you're looking at ESPN.com right now. Any scoring play of a game on ESPN3, ESPN.com cuts that scoring play up and puts it on the page. There's one play.
Wow.
That tells me that the game never got to ESPN, never got to the mothership, never got to Bristol, Connecticut.
And they can just be like, well, we hired somebody to do it, and we're very unpleased with the job they did. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Just throw the blame off on whoever they hired.
The way that ESPN3 works is they give you requirements, specifications of what you've got to meet, camera-wise, internet speed-wise, all that kind of stuff. If you can't, you have to agree that you meet those standards, and they will broadcast your games. I'm not doubting they didn't have the stuff there, but they didn't test anything.
Yeah. It's just disappointing, and I don't know.
It's probably the worst run the athletic department in Conference USA.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about it all the time. When they added teams to the conference, they went for the big market. So you have, you know, North Texas and Texas San Antonio on one end and the two Florida Twins on the other. And did they make the right choice when the Sun Belt adds Georgia Southern, Appalachian State, much better overall athletic programs and football programs, but they're in smaller markets? And the Conference USA adds a bunch of giant markets, but not so much quality athletic programs. Now, North Texas seems to be up on the upswing a little bit as far as football. You know, they've got facilities, but FIU, they're just an afterthought in Miami, and good gracious.
They may not even be an afterthought.
You've got 50,000 students or whatever, and you can only get 2,000 in the stands?
They don't even have a beat writer for the Miami Herald. They kicked their one beat writer out a few years ago. He wasn't allowed to come back.
Yeah, I remember that. That was just a couple years ago, I thought.
And the other former beat writer works for him. We had him on the show last week, Pete Pellegrin. He was a former beat writer, now works for the university, because he didn't have a beat anymore.
It's crazy. Speaking of Conference USA, I think if I would have picked the games for this past week, I would have got every one of them wrong. I mean, there's some really surprising scores in there. You've got North Texas going into Army, who was 4-2, and beat them 35-18.
Supposedly pretty bad field positions. Field conditions, I should say.
Yeah, and I was at the Tech-Army game when it drizzled the whole game. And so, I mean, that's a tough place to play. It was cold, and North Texas, you know, pulled it out. You know, Rice won, but they gave up 44 points to Prairie View, so that was surprising. Middle Tennessee goes in and gets the upset against Missouri. Upset only in that it's an SEC team. Middle Tennessee had the better record. Charlotte goes into Marshall. What's wrong with Marshall? Beats Charlotte, wins. You know, Tech was the only game that I think everybody picked to win that did win easily. Western Kentucky, I mean, I think people would pick them to win at home against Old Dominion, but Old Dominion was everybody's favorite team to talk about last week. They go into, you know, Bowling Green and get stomped 59-24. And then we were talking about how strong Texas San Antonio is at home, and UTEP goes in there and beats them 52-49 in five overtimes. UTEP's been awful this year.
That Old Dominion thing is another it's very similar to like FIU being leader of the Eastern Division of Conference USA last week. They hadn't played anybody in the conference. You look at who Old Dominion had played this year. They beat Hampton, a crosstown school, 54-21. Lost to App State 31-7 on the road. Lost to NC State on the road 49-22. Then they host UTSA, who, like you just said,
not good on the road.
Not good on the road. Not good at home either. If you lose in five overtimes to UTEP.
And they had to travel all the way from San Antonio to Virginia. That's a long trip.
They go to Charlotte, beat them 52-17. That's the game where people are like, okay, well, and Charlotte hasn't been good. So yeah. That was kind of the one that got people's attention a little bit. Well, beat them like you
and
did.
And then the next one really got people on the bandwagon.
UMass, you go up there, beat them 36-16. Well, UMass is not very good. And then go to Western Kentucky, and the score was – what was the score at end of the first quarter? 21-0. And Western Kentucky scored 31 in the second.
Oh, yeah. It was 52-14 at halftime. Game over at halftime. It wasn't even close. But Old Dominion, you know, they got picked pretty low in the preseason conference, you know, polls, and the coach was just kind of beside himself. He's like, you know, we're a better program than that. You know, rebuilding or no rebuilding, we deserve more respect. And maybe they're not as bad as Charlotte and some of those teams, but apparently they're no Western Kentucky, at least not yet. But you mentioned, or we were talking about how, you know, adding FIU or maybe FAU or the Texas Twins, you know, maybe that didn't add a lot of strength to the conference and they were just looking for big markets, you know.
Old Dominion made sense.
Yeah, Old Dominion made sense. But maybe that's what Tech needs. Maybe Tech needed to be in a conference. Instead of being in a far-flung conference like the WAC, where you were playing against Boise State or Nevada or Fresno, and you had some pretty strong programs, and you had a lot of traveling, now Tech's in a division with North Texas, Texas San Antonio. Rice is down right now. Pretty easy travel games. Tech and Southern Miss can really beat up on the West most years. Talk about Tech's record under Skip Holtz in October. You start playing these interdivisional games, and he's dominating them, getting bowl eligible every year. Maybe it's not such a bad thing to have a couple of cream puffs in the conference.
Well, there's no doubt we were going to talk about Conference USA in the next segment. We're doing it now, so we'll talk more FIU in the next one, recap it. There's no doubt that this is what Louisiana Tech needs right now to build its program, build its fan base, is win and go to bowl games. I've heard fans talk, we don't want to go to these bowl games that nobody knows anything about. Sorry, but that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean
the bowl game's a bowl game if you're Louisiana Tech.
The conference lost a lot of luster when some of the bigger programs like, you know, East Carolina and Memphis or whatnot left Houston, and so the bowl games, the bigger name bowl games went away. You don't have the champions playing in the Liberty Bowl anymore. Not getting as much respect in basketball. Not getting multiple bids anymore. But all that matters, Boise grew their brand by playing one P5 school a year, most of the time beating them, and playing cream puffs the rest of the way.
Strategically playing P5s.
Yeah, getting some of them at home, but not playing the top 10 teams, playing the ones that were just outside the top 25, the Oregon States of the world, played Arkansas one time, and beat most of them. That's how Marshall had a lot of success, playing an easier schedule. You know, more recently, they've loaded up on their schedule, and look where it got them. You know, they've kind of fallen on hard times. So that's kind of how you build your brand. Beat up on them. Play just one or two big schools. Schedule a UMass and go up there and stomp them. You know, I think the AD got a lot of heat. You know, Tommy got some heat for scheduling UMass, but I thought it was great. You get a home game next year. You go up there, get an easy win, get bowl eligible. That's what it's all about right now. And, yeah, maybe you're only playing in a bowl game in Dallas or New Orleans, and it's not the Cotton Bowl. It's not the Sugar Bowl, obviously, but still, you're getting to play.
Or Independence Bowl.
You're getting to play, yeah, in a bowl that's nearby, in front of your recruits, in front of your fan base, and you're getting on TV and you're winning. I mean, right now that's where Tech is, and that's Tech just needs to be in that role and dominate that role. And in the future, maybe more fans will come to games and maybe more conferences will start looking at them. But, hey, right now, just win where you are.
We don't normally talk about the bowl projections because at this far out, nobody knows. I did see one this week that would get fans excited, and that's the Birmingham Bowl against Cincinnati. That's more important to Tech fans, it seems, is who they're playing more than what bowl it is.
Yeah, the Dallas Bowl was great because it was against
Illinois,
a Big Ten team. That was fine. You know, do I want to see Tech playing the Raging Cajuns in New Orleans? Absolutely not.
Arkansas State.
You know, what's the point of that? So,
although I will say about last year's bowl game, Tech fans weren't that excited about it, but they still showed up.
And it was a great game. It was fun.
And you heard all this excitement about Arkansas State fans, and they didn't show up in the numbers that Tech did.
Yeah, and, you know, I give them credit. They showed up more than I thought they would, but
they won't next time.
But you know, I think Tech kind of showed, you know, after playing Lafayette a couple years in a row and then playing them in the bowl game and having the big wins that they did, you know, Tech still showed that they had that separation. Conference USA, you know, may be considered down, but you're still at a certain level.
The upper echelon of Conference USA, I don't think is that down. It's the top to bottom, it's just not good.
Yeah, you've got, you know, four or five solid programs right now. Marshall's falling on hard times, but typically the last couple of years you've got the smaller markets, Marshall, Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee in the east, Tech and Southern Miss in the west. Those are the ones that are dominating all these schools from the major markets that are basically afterthoughts in their market, that aren't getting the top recruits in their area. You know, Tech and Southern Miss can get some better recruits in their states that FIU's not getting. How many schools are coming into Florida and stealing all those recruits? They're not getting the second or third pick. They're getting the 10th.
And you look at on Football Study Hall, looking at the rankings, the way that their computer ranks the teams, Tech is 52nd. Western Kentucky is 35th. Middle Tennessee is 49th. Southern Miss is 67th. But then you look at your FIUs, 120. UTEP, 122.
Messi has UTEP at 182, and that's including FCS schools.
Rice, 113. UTSA, 110. North Texas, 94. They're trending. North Texas trending upwards, but we're not talking that they're trending upwards into the 70s or even the 60s. They're still 94th.
Yeah, they've kind of flip-flopped with Rice a little bit, but still not a top program.
So it's very top-heavy. The conference is extremely top-heavy. No, you don't have that team that's getting top, or actually, I think Middle Tennessee did get coaches poll top 25 votes because everybody's looking at those Power 5 wins. They mean so much to those coaches.
But Tech and Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee have beaten up on each other, and so you're not having that one team with a really strong record right now.
I mean, it's unfortunate for those three teams that all three of them had to sit, play each other. And really, the four, these Southern Miss. Southern Miss will have played Tech. I think they're playing one of the others.
So on the east side, out of what, seven teams right now, on the east side, Tech had to play the two best ones, Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee, and then also FIU. So next year you would think you're going to get a Charlotte or an FAU, maybe an Old Dominion or Marshall. But it shouldn't be near as strong as what they've had to face the last couple of years.
Well, the scheduling gods did not frown or smile upon Tech in the last 2 years. And this schedule is just last year's flipped because of UAB. But it was not a favorable schedule for Louisiana Tech. Now they've made a chicken salad out of you know what, and made it okay. But it's not how you wanted to play this thing with having such a front-loaded schedule. Going on the road to Arkansas to open the season isn't ideal. You'd prefer to have had that South Carolina State game in game one.
Well, but I think it might have been a blessing in disguise because Arkansas historically under Bielema plays horrible at the beginning of the year and gets better. And also that quarterback, Allen, was just not ready in that first game. He's looked a lot better since then. So, I mean, I think Tech jumped on them at the right time. But, yeah, for Tech, you would have liked to have one more game to kind of warm up the offense.
But in the first four games, Tech plays at home once.
Yeah, that's tough. It really was. And maybe that's you know, kind of got caught up with them in Middle Tennessee. Who knows? But it's paid off now because Tech's been through all those tough games, and now they kind of know what they can do. The offense is full speed ahead, and there's a lot of easier defenses. Not gimme wins, but easier defenses for Tech to try to roll up 50 points on.
Let's take this break. Other side, we'll talk FIU. Recap that game at 6:30. Ben Mintz of the Ticket in Shreveport will join us, talk a little Conference USA betting lines and the historic view of covering the spreads and all that kind of thing. And then the beat writer from the Houston Chronicle joins us at 6:45 to talk a little Rice football to preview that ball game inside the Joe, 6 o'clock. You'll want to be there. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. My old tag team partner back with me, just us two, Jason Jones, joining me here this week in studio. We're presented by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston. Go see those folks for all your interior decorating needs on South Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762. Send us a text to the same number, 888-993-7762. A quick news update on Jacquees Dancy, of course, the Bulldog fighting Hodgkin's lymphoma, getting treatment at St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis. He got back to North Louisiana late last night. He may be on the sidelines Saturday. That'll be big time for the Bulldogs. He seems to be doing well. He's got 2 weeks here. Then he goes back for more treatment. I don't know if you saw it, Jason, on social media. Coach Holtz tweeted about him giving an autographed ball to a 12-year-old from Ruston that's up there battling cancer. If that doesn't get you all up in the feels, nothing does.
Yeah, I saw that, and that's great of him to kind of reach out to the kid and, you know, showing some support. And then, you know, Coach Jaluk at LSU, who used to be here at Tech, he reached out to him and had a friend of his on the staff at the University of Memphis go by and check on Jaquees. So, you know, a lot of guys, you know, doing the right thing and being unselfish, and that's really great to see. And, you know, obviously we wish Jaquees all the best and hope for quick and speedy recovery.
Not to jump the – put the cart before the horse – he has a very good chance of beating this. And think about the story. He's got 3 years left on the field. And his ability, he could be a fan favorite, and he will be a fan favorite immediately. But that could be big time as far as atmosphere perspective to have him in the backfield for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he can get back on the field, I mean, obviously that's not the most important thing right now, but if he can get back on the field, I mean, that just shows what kind of fighter he is and what kind of determination he has, and that would be a huge story. But, I mean, right now he's attacking this deal, and he's got a lot of people behind him, and everybody believes in him. We know he can do it.
The positive attitude is immense for this, so props to him for staying positive and getting it done. But going back to last week's Louisiana Tech FIU game, Tech, of course, 44-24 victors in Miami. They led 27-10 at the half. We're leading 34-17 after the third quarter, and then scored 10 more in the final, and they only scored 7 to win it 44-24.
Yeah, and looking at the numbers, you know, Tech didn't dominate a lot of the stats like you thought they would. Yards, 411 for Tech, 398 to FIU, so that was pretty much even.
But they played a lot. Tech had a lot of short fields, and they had a lot of long fields.
Yeah, and they ate up the time of possession. FIU, 34 minutes to Tech's 26. But Tech had 269 yards passing. You know, passing, Higgins was real efficient, 142 yards rushing. So, you know, just the 411 yards, when you think about the yards they put up the last couple of weeks, you know, you thought they'd go into FIU. But FIU's typically a pretty solid defense. Their offense has been their Achilles heel. But Tech was just very efficient and, you know, had the special team score from Carlos and, like you said, had the short fields. And so they took advantage of their opportunities. And really, you know, I don't think the game was ever in question there in the second half. FIU did try to make it a little bit interesting, but Carlos broke their back with that kickoff return.
Yeah, you heard the when the broadcast was working, those jokes will never stop. The commentators made mention of why is Carlos Henderson arguably Tech's best offensive or most explosive player. He is Tech's most explosive player. It's not arguably. He is. Why is he back returning kicks with the possibility of getting hurt? I had that question myself, but then whenever he gets 6 points doing it, it makes it all worth it. When you see how explosive of a kick returner he is, it makes it all make sense. Now, I thought Coach Holtz had a good point this morning on Morning Drive with Dietrich and White. He has had injury problems, but you can't act like it. You just have to go out there and play the game of football and give him the touches to see what he can do for you.
And he also said, I mean, basically, I'm summarizing.
Paraphrasing.
He's your best, most dynamic offensive player. Get him the ball however you can. If you get him in space on a kickoff return, why wouldn't you? And that's what he did. He showed what he can do. I mean, typically, anytime he catches the ball on a kickoff return, I'm expecting, you know, he's going to get to the 30, 35 minimum. It's just like automatic field position. And if he breaks one, great.
Gerald Schaus punted the ball better Saturday, down one at the 2, I believe. The kickoff game was not good. They let Kyle Fisher kick the ball off because Jonathan Barnes is not the biggest fellow in the world, and his leg tends to get a little juiced, or gassed, I should say, by the end of the season, and he's getting to that point. So they were trying to relieve some pressure off of his leg. Fisher kicked the ball out of bounds twice.
Well, I think they should let Cam McKnight kick off. He can do everything else. He's Mr. Versatility. Let's see if he can kick off.
Speaking of Cam McKnight, how do you stop that? They're going to give it the ball. They might as well call it the K package and not the T-bone package.
Yeah, I mean, it's good night. Here comes McKnight. You know, he's scoring every time he touches the ball, it seems like. I mean, what, do you have 2 touchdowns in this game? So, you know, he's Mr. Efficient. I mean, he's scoring every time he touches it, it seems like. And, yeah, you can't stop it. So, find more ways to get the ball to him, you know, in different formations or whatever. It's definitely working. And so, and I think that's the key. I think we mentioned off the air, we were talking about, you know, Tech has struggled in some games in the red zone. Just trying to get more creative. It seems like when they go with that bigger T formation, sometimes you kind of know they're going to give it to McKnight. They're going to run to the right. He's going to get behind the other 2 guys. And a lot of times it is unstoppable, but, you know, maybe they can work a couple other plays out of that formation and surprise some people. We'll see. And I expect, you know, if the games get closer here, you know, against a North Texas or a Southern Miss, you know, we might see some different little actions off of that formation.
Yeah, and I asked Coach Holtz a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if I've even mentioned that here on the show, about how many bullets he feels like he has left in the chamber for as far as his playbook goes. And he said, I've got plenty left. I haven't shown my hand yet. So there's tons of stuff that he hasn't shown on film yet, and that's normal. You don't want to show everything you've got early in the season. If you don't need it, you don't need it.
Yeah, they've had 3 or 4 games recently where, you know, they haven't had to. They're scoring no problem. So
just run your base offense, and if they can't stop it, keep running your base offense.
Yeah, and they're not stopping. You know, Trent Taylor, you know, just had an average game for him, 11 receptions, 156 yards, and another touchdown. One of his receptions was for 49 yards. I mean, those are career games for most players, and that's just average for him. I mean, he's just so good, and so prolific. I mean, how many passes has he caught this year now, and he's getting close to the Tech record, you know. So
I think he's 6 away from having the Tech career receptions record?
It's something like that. So, you know, you might see that broke, you know. How great would that be to break that at home against Rice this week?
The crazy thing, when you look at his numbers, Trent Taylor's numbers this year, yeah, against Arkansas, he only had 8 catches for 78 yards. That's normally still a pretty good game for most people's perspectives. South Carolina State, 178 yards on 11 catches. Texas Tech, 166 yards on 7 catches. Middle Tennessee, 17 catches, 210 yards. UTEP, 10 for 121. Western Kentucky, 13, 108. UMass, 9 for 126. FIU, 11 for 156. That's crazy numbers.
Oh, yeah.
That's video game-like stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Middle Tennessee, what was it, 200-something? I mean, he's...
17 for 210 and two touchdowns.
And then you pair that with Henderson. I mean, the defense really has to pick their poison. You know, if they try to double Trent to take that away from Ron Higgins, you know, Carlos has one-on-one typically, and that's just not good for the defense. So you start paying too much attention to Carlos, and they just pick you apart with the run game with Jared Kraft or Trent Taylor over the middle, and you can't stop them. So, you know, the offense has a lot going for them. You know, I'd like to see McKnight in the passing game a little bit more, you know, at the inside receiver position. We're still waiting on Alfred Smith to have a breakout game. But
and he's going to have more opportunities with what looks like Marcus Gaines being out for more than likely the rest of the year with a wrist injury.
And we saw Marlon Watts get some reps against FIU.
And Coach Holtz even mentioned Marlon Watts yesterday in the press conference that he's coming along, and he missed most of fall camp to an injury. So hey, there's plenty of weapons, and that's what's so crazy about this offense is who do you stop? And then whenever you stop one of those guys, you got some other maybe not as proven commodities.
Bonnet.
But very capable.
Yeah, and they've shown glimpses, so they'll get their chance just like Marcus Gaines did when he was younger. You give him a chance, and he'll have a big game.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, Ben Mintz joins us from he's the sports director of the Ticket in Shreveport. Talk a little betting lines for Conference USA for entertainment purposes only, of course. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with our good friend Ben Mintz from the Ticket in Shreveport, talking a little Conference USA betting lines. I threw it on him at the last minute today saying, hey, you want to come on and talk a little betting? There's nobody else better than a former professional poker player. Are you still a professional poker player? Ben Mintz.
I just try to keep up appearances these days forward with this radio show job, just, you know, kind of hide the truth. But, yeah, I still put in my 20 hours a week at the table.
Got to supplement that income somehow, I suppose.
Hey, man, you and I both know you run VTech Blue. We're in the journalism for the love of the game. It is a lot of fun, but, you know, it doesn't always pay the bills the easiest.
Yeah, you're not going to become a millionaire, that's for sure. Ben, whenever you started doing the research around the conference with covering the spreads and covering it and over-unders and all that stuff, what was the overriding theme to you when you saw it?
Well, I'm going to be flat-out honest. Other than Louisiana Tech and Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky and I guess Southern Miss, this is a rough conference this year. There's not a lot of depth in Conference USA. I am kind of impressed with both North Texas and UTSA, so maybe there's a little more depth in the Western Division than there's been in the past. I know a lot's been made of what former LSU running back Coach Frank Wilson is doing over at Texas San Antonio, despite the fact they lost last week to UTEP. North Texas surprised me, though. They were 17-point underdog at Army last week and blew them out 35-18 on the road, so that was a big win for the Mean Green.
Yeah, North Texas is on the upswing for sure. But when you look at Louisiana Tech, how are they doing against the spread in Vegas thus far?
Well, they're coming on strong. What impressed me about Louisiana Tech is the last 3 weeks. And the one game I bet on Louisiana Tech this year was when they were a 2.5-point home underdog against Western Kentucky. I thought Tech, they had their season on the line in that game. That was the fork in the road moment for Louisiana Tech. They were 2-3. At that point, but we all knew, including you, Ford, if Tech could protect their own turf and beat a team that had won 13 Conference USA games in a row and the Conference USA Championship back-to-back years, it set them up to where they are right now. And now, all of a sudden, Louisiana Tech's got a great chance to win the Conference USA Western Division. If they had lost that Western Kentucky game, you're just fighting to make postseason.
Yeah, you picked correctly there for sure when you look at it in hindsight. I've never I've never put a dime. I know Jason Jones hasn't either. It's just fun to look at for us. It literally is for entertainment purposes only. But you look at tonight, this weekend's game for Louisiana Tech. Opened as a 23-point line at the Venetian, is all the way to a 29. Is that a surprise? I know it's Rice. I know they're not exactly a powerhouse, but is it a surprise to swing that much in such a short time?
Yeah, that scares me. Like, for me, being a little bit of a veteran, that's the kind of stuff that scares me away from games, because I don't like being on the public side. The edges are so small with point spreads that if I don't get that game at 23 and now it's 29, I just can't take Tech and go to sleep at night because I know I'm making a bad decision because I didn't get the right line. But having said that, Ford, I love what's going on with Louisiana Tech right now. I think the offense has hit its stride. You know, Carlos Henderson being nicked up in the middle of the season obviously hurt it a lot, but now that him and Taylor are full speed. And, you know, Ford, I got to give you credit on this. Beginning of the year, you told everybody, stay the course, chill out. Ryan Higgins knows this offense. You know, everybody always wants the backup quarterback to play. You and I were both at the South Carolina State game when the whole student section was saying, we want Jamar, and that was a one half of football for Higgins when he hadn't started 3 years. And Coach Skip Holt did the right thing. He stayed the course, and now look at what Ryan Higgins and Trent Taylor and Carlos Henderson are doing for this offense. And I just think Louisiana Tech, coming off that Western Kentucky game, continues to build momentum. And you look at the last 2 weeks against the spread, they covered on the road as a 17-point favorite at UMass and as a 17-point favorite at Florida International. It's tough to go on the road and cover big spreads, even if you're playing bad teams. You saw the Florida International feed. I mean, it was like a DJ. That was a very weird environment Tech played in last week, but they were able to cover the spread. I think Louisiana Tech is building momentum, and I think they're going to hammer Rice. You're talking about a Rice team that'll have 44 points to Prairie View last week. I don't see how they can stop the Bulldogs.
So you look at the you got something, Jason?
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, I mean, you said that Tech's hitting their stride. Tech scored at least 44 points in the last three games. They've done it five times out of eight games this year. And then for Western Kentucky, gave up 44 to Prairie View.
Rice. You said Western Kentucky.
I'm sorry. Rice gave up 44 to Prairie View, 44 to Southern Miss, 42 in a loss to North Texas, and then at the beginning of the year, 46 points to Western Kentucky. So, I mean, Rice has given up a ton of points to everybody except Texas San Antonio. They lost 14-13. That was a weird one. But, you know, I feel like if Prairie View can score 44, if Tech's scoring over 44 in most of these games, Tech's going to put up in the, you know, 44-plus, up in the 50s probably. The question is, can Tech hold them under 20 and keep that line? What is it, 29 now that y'all just said? I mean, that's a ton of points.
I still think this is a situation where if you're Rice, and I believe they're either 1-6 or 2-5. I went through all the results. I know they're struggling.
1-6.
Extremely bad. And I just think there's a spot where, you know, their coaching staff is under a lot of pressure. There could be a change at the end of the year. At what point do they quit? And I know they're a private school, so they got guys that are going to play hard, you would think. But this is a terrible matchup for them. Tech coming home after a great two-week road trip. They're going to be fired up to be in front of their home fans. Weather should be good. And as long as the weather is good, because that's always a concern when you got a spread offense like Louisiana Tech has, you don't want it to be rainy, et cetera. I just don't think Rice has the heart to stay in this game. I think Tech can score 42 in the first half. I think this is a complete rout.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, what point does Rice give up? They should not give up. They've got Stanford at the end of the year. Massey has them a 0% chance to win. They only give them 6% chance against Louisiana Tech. But they're actually favored in their next three games, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, and UTEP. That's how bad Conference USA is. Rice is favored in three games and has not won a conference game all year.
Yeah, they're bad. The game that, Ford, I'm sure you've got an eye on, because we mentioned both teams already, and I went through and researched everything for this week. I'm very curious about the North Texas at Texas San Antonio game this week. North Texas coming in with a lot of momentum. They beat Marshall a couple weeks ago, who has been a little disappointing. North Texas goes on the road, wins at Army as a big underdog last week. UTSA has played tough at home. They almost beat Arizona State. They blew out Southern Miss. Last week took a definite step back with a 52-49 home loss to a bad UTEP team. How does Frank Wilson and UTSA respond coming off that loss last week that had to be disappointing? UTSA is a 3.5-point favorite at home, which is going to surprise a lot of people considering they lost last week to UTEP. But I look forward to be a bounce-back spot for the Roadrunners. I kind of like them in that matchup. That's a game Louisiana Tech fans
keeping on, because that's Tech's next two opponents, and both of those guys teams will be competing in Conference USA West this year.
What about a game that's down in Hattiesburg? Marshall, Southern Miss, Marshall having a terrible year. Can they get a get-right game and maybe surprise some people down in Hattiesburg this weekend?
What I'm curious about with this Southern Miss thing, because they got most of their team back, including Nick Mullen, and you saw how good they were in that last, the 59-24 win when Louisiana Tech had all the turnovers at the end of the year last year. Jay Hobson has just done a horrible job with this football team. Todd Monken handed him the keys to the engine. They had almost had their whole team back. They lose at home to Rice. I don't think you can think much of them getting blown out at LSU, but you saw what UTSA did to them. I think Southern Miss has got to be labeled one of the disappointments this year for how hyped up and how big of a favorite they were in Conference USA. I don't really have a feel for this game. I can't trust Southern Miss laying 16.5 because their defense is struggling too bad, but Marshall's too bad to take on the road, so this is kind of a pass. I do have an opinion on that UTEP Old Dominion, though.
Let's hear it.
I like UTEP as a home underdog. As bad as UTEP is as a football team, you saw how much Louisiana Tech has struggled going out to El Paso the last few years. The game is kind of like going to Lubbock, Texas. It's extremely windy. Old Dominion likes to throw the football. It's bad for them going that far away and having to deal with those issues. And UTEP, for all their problems, Aaron Jones, as you know, is going to run the football at you. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them pull the mild upset over Old Dominion this week.
I got to toot my own horn while I've got you on the air. I didn't realize how close I was to picking the right score last week. Of course, it was 44-24 was the final. I predicted 42-24.
Wow, that is very, very impressive, Mr. Ford. And Ford, I got to say, this is fun coming on your radio show after you've done such a good job coming on mine all year in Shreveport. I kind of like the reverse of it.
We'll have to do it some more, man. I really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Yeah, thank you very much. And final thing, like Louisiana Tech, I like UTSA, and I like UTEP as a home dog this week. And thank you all for having me.
Hey, Ben, one last little point. You mentioned UTEP is the home dog.
Sure.
UTEP is the home dog. 2 years ago, they beat Old Dominion in El Paso 42-35. And Old Dominion was pretty salty 2 years ago.
So, yeah, they were. That was when they had that – I forgot the quarterback's name.
Heineke?
They had that quarterback that was off.
Yep.
Taylor Heineke. I remember him.
So yeah, they did it 2 years ago. They can do it again.
No, Old Dominion's not a bad football team, but they got to be a little demoralized after – you know, they'd gotten a little hyped up, and then they were a 13-point underdog at Western Kentucky and got blasted, like 59-21. That had to be demoralizing for them, and now you got to trip across the country to West Texas to play a physical football team, and you know what could be windy, bad weather. It's just, you know, if you're Old Dominion, it's a hard game to get up for mentally, I would think.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Heck yeah! Thank y'all for having me. Appreciate you, Ford. We'll get you back on the ticket here sometime soon.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Mintz joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, talking a little Vegas for entertainment purposes only. That's all in fine print. Got to read the fine print.
Yeah, don't take this to Vegas.
Don't take it to the bank.
Yeah.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll have Adam Coleman from the Houston Chronicle talking a little Rice football as we preview Louisiana Tech's opponent Saturday inside the Joe, a 6 o'clock kickoff. You'll want to be there. Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones joining me here on the show tonight, like always.
Mostly when I'm not coaching Little League.
When you're not coaching softball, you're here as my tag team partner, Twin Towers of Radio, as we've started calling ourselves several years ago. We're brought to you
not
by...
Not quite as heavy.
I'm not quite as heavy.
Yeah, thanks to you.
The combined weight has taken a shot.
We're under 600 pounds.
It's about time. We're brought to you by Trent Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those folks in the historic Rogers Furniture Building for all your interior decorating needs. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Men, then hotline. with my new friend, Adam Coleman of the Houston Chronicle. Adam, how's it going tonight?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
You bet, man. Well, first off, I think I read on your Twitter profile you're a Texas Tech alum. Did you watch that Louisiana Tech-Texas Tech game?
Yes, I did. I am a Texas Tech alum, and it hasn't been a great year for me. I've seen Louisiana Tech a little bit, a talented ball club. You know, it's the one you definitely can't take lightly. But on the Tech side, you know, defense is always defense is always has been an issue. So I've been suffering through that pain for a couple of years now.
Well, Louisiana Tech fans would say that they understand that pain all too well. For sure. But what did you see from Louisiana Tech in that game? And then you've seen Rice more than anybody else that's been on this show. What have you seen? What did you see in that game? And then what have you seen from Rice to give us an overall preview of the game?
Yeah, well, offense is really the number one thing that I think about with this game coming up. Louisiana Tech definitely just has some talented players on the offensive side of the ball. I believe coming into this week, actually, they are the number one scoring offense in the conference. And if you look at it from the Rice side, they're like, oh, here we go again. We already faced Western Kentucky, who I thought would be the number one offense in this conference, and we already faced Baylor, and we already faced Southern Miss, who of course has Nick Mullins at quarterback. So that's what Rice is thinking, and here we go again. We have to face another top-notch offense, and it may be a good time for Rice to be playing Louisiana Tech coming into this game, because they're coming off a great offensive performance themselves. They scored 65 points in a 65-44 win over Prairie View A&M, and by far their best offensive output of the year. They needed a game like that. They've been looking for a game like that. They struggled to really just kind of put things together offensively, and they were really inconsistent for a while, but Tyler Stelling, the quarterback for Rice, really put it together, nearly set a record for touchdown passes in the game for Rice. And we know it's Prairie View A&M, but this ball club needed that. They needed that. They needed to see it on film. They needed to see themselves do it offensively. Like, yes, we are capable of putting that many points on the board. We are capable of scoring the ball. And they struggled to do that against UTSA, 14-13 loss. They missed opportunities against North Texas. They struggled to do that against Baylor, which was only a 38-10 loss. I think people thought it might have been a little bit more. But, yes, I mean, when I look at this game, I'm thinking offense. I mean, Louisiana Tech, Rice, two teams that potentially can put up a lot of fireworks on the offensive side of the ball.
When you this week, I try to watch the press conferences for Tech's opponents every week, and it was surprising not to see maybe one of the most entertaining coaches in Conference USA leading it for Rice, with Coach Bailiff being under the weather. And then you come to find out the whole team, or much of the team, has been fighting the stomach bug. How much has this affected the team this week?
A little bit more than I thought it would, to tell you the truth. Today I was over by the facility, and actually the guy who replaced Coach Baylor for that Monday press conference, he got sick and he got sent home. So, I don't know what it is. I thought it was food poisoning. I think it's a stomach virus, something like that. We had a chance to speak to junior linebacker Emmanuel Ellerby, and he said he felt the effects after the game. They practiced on Sunday, and he said he ended up vomiting everywhere. And it sounds like some kind of stomach bug going around, and it's tough. It throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into this team's week, because, they got to prepare for Louisiana Tech, and they have to practice. And then, they got to get on they got to get on a bus and travel to Louisiana. So, you kind of have to, and a lot of guys are out. A couple guys are sent home from that Sunday practice, and Bailiff was back at practice today. And he is very entertaining, but I think one thing people don't know about him is that he's really, really tough. And if something like that kind of knocks him out and sidelines him, it must be a really nasty bug. But, this is something that they kind of have to work around. I'm not sure, just how hard they're going in practice because of this bug. So it's going to be something they're going to have to deal with. But it's a really bad time for them to be dealing with it, considering they have to travel. And they got to try to bounce back in Conference USA if they're going to try to salvage this season. So it's definitely something to watch for this weekend.
And then I also noticed one comment from the coach that did fill in for Coach Bailiff about injuries. What injuries have the Owls faced this season, and how many have they lost for the year?
Oh God! I mean, you can take any spot on the roster, and so there's probably been an injury there. The most notable position they've suffered injuries though is the offensive line, and I don't think they've had the same offensive line two games this season. And what they've had to do a lot is shuffle. Players in different spots. I know Peter Godber, he's played center, he's played left guard, and I think he's played left tackle. They've had guys like Trey Martin, who is the starting center. He's out, and they are expecting him back, if not this week, next week. They've started freshmen. Joseph Dill is one, true freshman on the offensive line. I mean, it's really been ravished on the offensive line. Coach Patterson said on Monday that two of the starting corners have had soft tissue injuries. JT Blassingame, one of them. Darian Pollard, receiver, they thought he was going to have a huge year this year. He hasn't seen a lot of time. Timmy Akala, another receiver, he's just now coming into his own. He had a huge game against Prairie View. He's missed time. He separated his shoulder last spring, and he's been dealing with hamstring injuries. I mean, they've had injuries everywhere, and I think when something like this happens, you realize how many red shirts Rice has. They did have to take a red shirt off a true freshman receiver, Colin Grandson, and he's actually done pretty well in the last couple games. But, I mean, this team, they've had to dig deep. They've had to play their freshmen, and honestly, this was the kind of the story last year. They had to forcefully play some true freshmen when they weren't expecting to having to do that, and then ended up burning them, and, you know, they were one of the worst defenses in the conference as a result. This year, they are more or less a little bit more prepared for it. So this team, I think they're just hoping and wishing that, you know, for 1 year that they don't have to deal with the injuries that they've dealt with the last 2 years.
Well, and that kind of brings up my question, Adam. So when Louisiana Tech joined the conference in 2013, Rice was the top dog in the Western Division. 10 wins in 2013.
Yeah.
Playing the Liberty Bowl against Mississippi State. I was actually at that game. And then the next year, eight wins, beat Fresno State in a bowl game. And so then last year, they were 3-3 halfway through the season. And then they had a four-game losing streak kind of towards the end. And then this season, you know, started off with the losing streak. Can you put your finger on, I mean, David Bailiff is considered one of the top coaches in the conference. A lot of respect around the conference. Can you kind of put a finger on what midway through the season last year kind of started that downfall, and has injuries been a big part of it?
Yeah, injuries, and you're absolutely right. Injuries have definitely been a big part of it. But aside from that, if you want to just talk about things on the field, last year I think Coach Bailiff, he mentioned the turnover margin just really being an issue. They did not force a lot of turnovers, and that may be a result of some other things, but they never had a chance to really force turnovers and kind of get the ball back in their possession. I think they were last or maybe second to last in the conference in turnover margin. They had JT Blackson game had an interception in the Baylor game, and it was their first interception in nearly a year. And I think that speaks volumes to kind of, you know, what this team and that defense has struggled to do. But also, man, I mean, some of the things that Rice went through that year and showed up again this year, and really just comes down to them kind of shooting themselves in the foot a lot. They did that a lot last year. You look at the UTSA game last year, you know, that was tough. You could argue that was a game that kind of kept them out of a bowl, end up going 5-7. They just, you know, and of course defensively, they just really couldn't put things together. And then you top on that all the injuries that this team went through. With Rice, they have to get the little things right. I think a lot of programs have to go through that, but with Rice especially, just considering what they are, what kind of a program they are, they have to get the little things right in order for everything to go right. And that hasn't been happening the last 2 years. And honestly, some of the same things this year. I mean, North Texas game, they were up 17-0, and the defense held North Texas to, I think it was like -7 yards in the first quarter. They end up losing that game in double overtime. They let their foot off the pedal, and then the UTSA game, some missed field goals, a 14-13. You know, you figure they could get one more touchdown. I mean, there's a lot of missed opportunities from this team. And when they were 0-6, you kind of look at it like, well, maybe they're not that bad of an 0-6, and I think maybe they proved that a little bit against Prairie View, but it just, 1 week is one thing, the next week is another. They just haven't been able to put it all together for a string of games, and that same issue has showed up last year and this year.
You mentioned that the offensive line for Rice has kind of been a mixed bag. They've had a rotate of musical chairs, but maybe would be a better term for it. Defensively, how's the defensive line looked, and what if that's not the strength on the defense, what is the strength for the Rice defense?
Well, yeah, the defensive line has kind of looked the same thing. So when I say injuries, I should say the trenches have really suffered some huge injuries. And the defensive line, they've had to play some young guys. They've had to do that for the last couple years. Roe Wilkins, redshirt freshman, guys like that who have kind of had to start and then bounce around a little bit. But the strength of this defense, no question, is the linebacker position. When you have Mbaylev, he'll sing the praises of Emmanuel Ellerby and Alex Lyons. He believes they are the best linebacker duo in the conference. And I think they definitely have a case for that. Alex Lyons, just guys who are all over the field, leaders of the defense. Emmanuel Ellerby had a huge interception against Prairie View last Saturday. And Alex Lyons, he's into the season, arguably Rice's best player. So this duo, leaders of the defense, guys who kind of are experienced, know what they're doing, and they don't mind laying a big hit, and they don't mind making plays. So I think those are two guys that you definitely have to look out for. When they're playing well, it seems like the rest of the defense is playing well. So they're definitely a very important duo for Rice.
Well, Skip Holtz talked about how the one of the safeties, I can't remember his name, is has a lot of tackles for loss, and that shows the aggressive nature of this defense. Are they that aggressive because of maybe the rotation at defensive line with the injuries and the inability to get any pressure, so they're having to bring more pressure from the secondary to get pressure on the quarterback?
Absolutely, and it may be a reason why they've given up so many big plays this season. That's been another issue with this team. They have a tendency to give up the big play, the deep ball, and that hurt them against Western Kentucky, hurt them against Baylor and Southern Miss and things of that sort. So that may be the reason that, just with that defensive line alone, especially against max protection, they're not really getting a lot of push. So they're having to bring a couple more guys and use a couple safeties and guys in some spots. Whereas, maybe normally if that defensive line was getting some push, they wouldn't have to do that. So, yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I mean, that's one thing that they've had to do is just try to get some pressure and try to disrupt the quarterback, because one of the issues, again, has been giving up that big play and letting that quarterback, whoever it may be, it could be anybody, just be way too comfortable. And I think that they've done a little bit better job of that, here in the last couple games. Prairie View was maybe a little bit of a weird game, 44 points, as Emmanuel Ellerby said. We didn't even give up 44 points to Baylor, and he's got a good point there. But, I mean, for the most part, this defense has done a better job of containing the big play and getting a little bit more pressure and giving the offense a chance to win the game. So I think they've somewhat improved on that, but they got a big test this weekend, and we'll see if they've really turned the corner against Louisiana Tech.
Good segue to this. Whenever we talk about the matchups in this game, it sounds like Louisiana Tech should have the upper hand almost across the board. How do you see this one playing out? We always make people predict it, no matter how good or bad we may be at it. We like it's fun. So how do you see this one playing out Saturday inside Joe Ice Stadium? I think the latest line is a 29-point Louisiana Tech favorite and over under a 72.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where I saw this tweet. I might have, but some people feel like that line should be more. I will go with Louisiana Tech in this game. I think with Rice is kind of they have to show it. They have to show, like, if they've truly turned a corner and if this win is going to spark anything, they have to show it. And this is the perfect time to show it. Go on the road, beat a top notch opponent in the conference, and then you can show, hey, we've really turned the corner. But they have not shown it all year, and it's going to be really tough, especially with the whole stomach bug thing. I think that's playing a little bit more of a factor than we think and then we realize. But, yeah, I would have to go with Louisiana Tech. I don't know what the score would be. I wouldn't be surprised if, Rice maybe found a way to keep it close early. But, I feel like Louisiana Tech, this is right in their wheelhouse, and this is the kind of game that they expect to win, and they will.
Adam, really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll talk to you soon, maybe when basketball season comes around.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime you guys need me, let me know.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah. Adam Coleman joining us here from the Houston Chronicle, talking a little Rice University football. When you see a 29-point line, you wonder, what in the world is Vegas thinking? The more you hear him talk, they're right. They sound like they're right on it.
Well, and Tech put 76 up on them in Ruston 2 years ago. That kind of started. That was one of the first losses that kind of put them on their downward trend and helped them along the way. He talks about a safety. Tabari McGaskey has 9 tackles for loss. He's a former linebacker, so they moved him just in the spring. So they were loaded at linebacker, so much so that they had to move one of them to safety.
So but he's really a strong safety.
6 foot, 230. He's big.
He's a linebacker. Yeah. That's why they're rolling him into the box so much.
Yeah.
They're really playing a 4-4 defense and not a 4-3 defense. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk. We'll recap or we'll preview this game. Jason and I will. And then we'll give our predictions in the final segment. See if I can get close again. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those folks for all your interior decorating needs, at appliances, cabinets, countertops, flooring. They've got it all in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762. Send us a text the same line, 888-993-7762. Let's go to that Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with our good buddy Rafe for his weekly segment. We're going to get that thing sponsored one day. One day we're going to get the sponsor for the Rafe Sims segment. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, just for a small fee, just a small contribution to Bleed Tech Blue, you can sponsor this weekly segment. So that's the pitch.
There you go. Rafe, what's on your mind, my man?
Well, what's on my mind is that I think that I'm seeing a little bit different Skip Holtz kind of coming down the stretch here than we've seen in years past. And it's to me, one of the things that stands out more than others is the fact that a lot of his press conferences and so forth seem to be focused upon how can we fix our team instead of how can we necessarily prepare for the other team. At this point, I think that we've established ourselves as, formidable as a team. Whenever we play right, there's really not a better team than us in the conference. But there's these little things that could go wrong that could lead to a closer game than necessary, like Western Kentucky, or even losing a ball game. And it seems like he may subtly highlight what he wants to emphasize. You know, last week was special teams, and he was just the debacle that we were having with the kickoff return coverage. I mean, kickoff coverage and the punting. It seemed like that this thing has to be fixed, and I thought we saw a marked improvement with that at FIU. We weren't trying to play wide open. We weren't trying to blow them out necessarily, but we were definitely trying to control the game, especially through the not turning the ball over and fixing those special teams, those elements of the special team. Do you think we'll still see Fisher kicking off going forward, or was that just a one-week experiment? What do you think about that?
I think he'll probably give him another game, see if he can get it in bounds. I don't say that facetiously. If he can kick the ball inbounds, get it to the end zone, I think he could have that job because they want to save the leg of Jonathan Barnes, because Jonathan Barnes only weighs 160 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense to give him another chance. And, Rafe, you're right, it does seem like every week there's something that's Coach Holtz is wanting to focus on. Early in the season after the Texas Tech game, it was wrapping up and tackling, and so then the special teams or whatever. And so he's slowly building this team into a solid title contender for the conference.
Yeah, it seems that way. if we kick it out of bounds, they get it at 35, which is an improvement. I'll just throw that in there.
At one point, I was
thinking just kick the thing straight out of bounds. That's better than what's going on now. But also, you know, the decent defensive line depth has seemed to be something he's dealing with a little bit. I saw that Gardner got some significant playing time last week in Purdue, and he's mentioning some other guys that have started to emerge. So I think that he's going to he's going to continue to try to fortify that defense, because the defense is somewhat settling out in terms of linebacker, what Dermon's going to do, you know, what place does Santos have on the team, even if he's not starting, when does he come in, what type of situations are best for him, and things like that. I think Kitchen, each week, you know, he's going to get a little bit more aggressive, and eventually, you know, he will be more comfortable there. So,
oh, and Kitchen had six individual tackles, you know, led the team, not in overall tackles, but in solo tackles. So he's been a welcome addition to that secondary.
Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
No, I saw that stat that he had six tackles, solo tackles. So, you know, that's a big deal. This week, I think that there are going to be some role players, especially on offense, that might get some significant looks and action. You know, in terms of receiver, in terms of you know, Boston Scott continuing with running back, Kraft also getting some carries. Maybe if we can see another wide receiver that we can trust and utilize more. I don't think the game's going to be close. I mean, I know that there's ways to spin it to make it seem like it could be close, but I just don't see them being able to run with us, especially at home. You know, we have two more home games, so this, to me, is going to be about us, you know, furtherly establishing our depth and really trying to not get into one of these situations where we surrender a bunch of late points, you know, kind of like Rice did with Prairie View last week, where they, you know, showed they were superior, but yet when they put their backups in and you have all these, you know, points scored, and ends up looking like a, you know, closer game than it really is. So I expect this one to be, you know, it'll be maybe interesting for the first half, but by the fourth quarter, you know, it's not really a game that you want to leave, because if you want to see what he's interested in accomplishing, you know, going down the stretch against North Texas, against UTSA, and even at Southern Miss, stay for the later plays, because that's what he's interested to see if it'll work. You know, that's where he does more experimenting.
Rafe, really appreciate you joining us. Like always, good stuff.
All right, man. Good to hear y'all. Love the show.
Thanks, Rafe. Couple of questions from the Bleed Tech Blue Board, and we'll go a little later in this one and we'll wrap it up in the next segment with our predictions. Since Louisiana Tech does have a new offensive coordinator, and I'm putting air quotes around that term offensive coordinator this year, how much success does Todd Fitch have to do with Louisiana Tech's success on the gridiron and offensively, in your opinion?
He's doing something right. I mean, you've got, you know, Tim Rattay working with the quarterback, you know, moving over to quarterback's coach. But, you know, the offense losing, you know, the quarterback that they lost and the running back that they lost, you expect the offense to take a step back. And they've gone forward and putting up, it seems like, more yards. So I feel like he's got to get a lot of that credit.
I think the cohesiveness of Skip Holtz and Todd Fitch knowing one another as well as they do probably cannot be understated. I'm not saying that Todd Fitch hasn't brought something to the table, because he absolutely has. But that part, to me, is the biggest part of Todd Fitch's addition than anything X's and O's wise. They know one another like the back of their hands, and that cannot be undervalued.
And I believe Holtz would have had him here 3 years ago had he been available. So that's probably his guy, and that's who he wanted all along. And so, yeah, I think it's been a great fit.
Who is more key to the offense, Carlos or Trent? And then prediction on their production Saturday. I think Carlos is probably more important to the offense.
I think Trent is, just because he commands so much attention. He opens things up for Carlos, but it's really just
six one half dozen of another.
What, the yin or the yang or whatever you call it, they're both so vital, and they both make each other so much better. And I think they're both going to go for over 100 yards and each have at least one score. I mean, they're going to have a huge game.
And then you add to that equation in Jared Kraft. Jared Kraft changes the dynamic of this offense as well because of his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. If you're a running back and you can't catch, you're not going to play for Skip Holtz.
No, Dixon has so much success, you know, last year doing that, and now Kraft's doing the same thing. He's just so versatile, and he's got so many players that are versatile, like a Cam McKnight. You can do so many different things, and that's what Skip Holtz likes to say. He's multiple, and try to figure out a way to stop it.
How about this? Next year, you'll have Trent Taylor. Trent Taylor will not be here. He's not going to pull some magic trick with the NCAA. Carlos Henderson on one side of the outside. The other outside spot, Teddy Veal, transfer from Tulane, who I believe is probably the best receiver on the team, polished receiver on the team.
And you've got, Adrian coming up, too. I mean, he's a stud.
Adrian Hardy. Cam McKnight's back. You can move Tarzan Alfred Smith to inside. His natural position of inside receiver. He'll probably be in that position at Trent's end this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, they'll be ridiculous on offense. And then Rafe mentioned they're playing more defensive linemen. You know, we're seeing Garner play a little bit more, and Kinzer, Kadarian Mason, and Baker will be, you know, even better next year after having their freshman year. They only lose one guy on the defensive line in Brown. Defensive line is going to be loaded.
Do you think Tech brings more transfers in at linebacker next year or at safety?
I don't think you will at linebacker. I think you've got three starters basically coming back in Ferris, Derman, and now Cedric Cooper. So I don't think there's a need. You've got those three guys starting, and let some of these young guys that have been redshirting the last couple of years or sitting on the bench, you know,
prove themselves.
Let them try to fight for those backup roles. I don't think it's as desperate of a need as it was this year. Now, these guys have been a great addition. You know, Jordan Harris has been phenomenal, but I don't think they're as needed. So I would say safety for sure, with Cooper moving up to linebacker, with Grogan gone.
X gone.
Yeah, that's the spot.
I could see one at safety. I don't even see one at corner. I really think some of Tech's best corners are being redshirted this year.
Yeah.
And Aaron Robertson, Zach Hannibal, Spencer, all those guys.
And then you've got Kitchen, who's a young guy, so he's just finally getting healthy. So wouldn't hurt to have another big corner. If another Prince Sam's out there, a Cyril Nolan Lewis, yeah, you take him. But you don't have to. But, yeah, safety I would be looking – that's the one spot.
You know that Skip Holtz is going to hold on to some scholarships for some transfers. Where do you see that coming? If it's not, it won't be receiver.
No, and it won't be offensive tackle. I could see an interior lineman because you're losing, you know, all these guys. You've got two guards coming back, and Ethan might play move to center.
Yeah.
I can see an interior lineman. That'd be about the only other spot.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll wrap it up and give our predictions of the Louisiana Tech Rice game Saturday, 6 o'clock, Inside the Joe. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back for the final segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Season 9, Episode 10 is flying by here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. We've been brought to you by Trent Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those folks for all your interior decorating needs. Appreciate Fairway Carts of Menden sponsoring our hotline. Not enough time to go to that line this segment. Read through our sponsors once. Also brought to you by Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Listening to Adam talk about the Owls, I think this stomach bug will affect this team a little bit this year, this week. Also, that the musical chairs on offensive line and defensive line bodes very well for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I don't give Rice much of a shot in this game. I mean, I think, you know, they've been giving up 40-plus points. Tech's been scoring 40-plus. The offense is not going to be a problem. You know, Tech might give up a few scores, but it's not going to be like a Western Kentucky or Middle Tennessee type deal where Rice can really put up some points enough to challenge for the game. I mean, I see this as more of an FIU, UMass type, you know, situation.
So, and you look at Texas averaging 41.9 points a game. That's good for 12th in the country. Total offense, Tech is 8th. Passing offense, 3rd. Pass efficiency, 6th. Third down percentage, conversion percentage, 5th at 51.6%, pardon me. First down offense, 4th in the country. Punt returns, 22nd. Kick returns, 20th. Rush defense, 35th. Now, many would say that's because teams are passing all over Tech, 121st in passing yards allowed. I think we're going to see a lot of pressure dialed up by Diaz, not Diaz, I'm sorry, Baker, Saturday with this piecemeal offensive line to try to get after Rice's quarterback.
And I think that's the way they should play. I think when Tech's more aggressive on defense, good things happen. And I think when you play off of them and try to, you know, keep them in front of you, you know, I think you build confidence for the offense. So I love it when Tech's aggressive, when they bring different players. And, you know, I think they've got the players that they can do that and play that way. So, you know, I hope they bring them from all different directions. And I think the defensive line will have a huge game. I mean, I think Ferguson and Candy have a big game at defensive end.
Somebody texted to the Fairway Carter Minden text line, keep the stomach bug in Texas, don't bring it here. I think that's agreed on all accounts. Nobody wants to deal with that. Once again, line is 29 for Vegas with an over-under of 72. Massey has the game as a Tech victory, 45-23, so that's a 22-point victory. And then footballstudyhall.com has it as a 45-27 game, margin of victory, they're calling of 18.
Not gonna happen.
86% chance of victory according to Football Study Hall, 94% chance of victory according to Massey.
Well, I'll start it off. I've got Tech 55-28. Once again, I don't think the opponent will make a field goal. They have not been kicking field goals this year at all. Even when they had 13 points against San Antonio, it's because they missed an extra point. So if you go look at their scores, they're not kicking field goals. So Tech might give up, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns, but it's still going to be 55-28. Tech wins by 27, so they will not cover, but it'll be close.
John, what did you say? You made your prediction.
I'm almost right along with Jason. So I got 55-21.
They didn't lead me astray last week, so I may have to just cheat a little and just add 7 to Massey. I'll go 52-24.
So you're kind of hedging the middle between me and Jason.
And you got a 28-point win. I've got a 27-point win. John's got the 34-point win. You got the cover. And so, by Tech.
That 29-point line is just tough.
It is. It is. But, I mean, I think it's got a chance of happening. I really do. So, we'll see. It's going to be a lot to a little. That's one thing for certain.
Going through the conference, we can go through that really, really quickly. Jason's bailing on me. I guess I'll go through it solo. It's all right. To see who what games are going on across the conference. We did a little bit of that with Mintz. Western Kentucky travels to Florida Atlantic. That one should not be difficult for the Hilltoppers. They're favored by 21. Marshall travels to Hattiesburg for Southern Miss, favored by 16.5. North Texas travels to San Antonio, where the Roadrunners are favored by 3.5. Middle Tennessee goes to FIU, where they're favored by 17. And last but not least, Old Dominion makes the long trip from Norfolk, Virginia to El Paso, Texas. 4-point Old Dominion road favorites. So, for John Tabor, Jason Jones, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back same time, same place. We'll see you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.